Well, good morning. I'm really glad to be here and see you all again. It's always good. It's like a coming home. Where's Karen? Here. It's like coming home here, yes. I saw a quote by Mother Teresa a little over a week ago that really resonated. She said, "I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish God wouldn't trust me so much." That, I loved it because it made me smile. I love anything that makes me smile. But I also, it's a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about today. And what I wanted to talk about was to tell you guys that I did it again. Did it again. I got pulled off of my center. I got triggered by social media and the news. I mean, it's always out there, but this particular time, I got hooked. And then it ramps up, and then you start awfulizing. Oh, God, all of that. I did that. I worked very hard not to do that, but I did. The thing that triggered me this time was, it was after the Tylenol announcement. No matter what you think, but I rolled my eye. Oh, really? I just did. Anyway, but I started thinking about this advice that's coming out about Tylenol and what you can't do and what you can do. And I went to a place where I was, well, if this would happen and then that would happen, then I would just, and I caught myself. Because I know myself well enough to know that, I recognize when I'm in that space, which is not a comfortable space, I'll say. Triggering was fueled by a whole bombardment, it felt like, on subsequent posts on social media. I can't tell you how many posts there were from so-called doctors. I mean, maybe they were, I don't know. But they were talking about you could use this kind of this for a cure and that kind of something for a cure, and a lot of those suggestions involved honey. So maybe honey really is good for you, I guess. But it was just like all this stuff. I am not against home remedies, not at all. I think anything that can be used that is natural that will help us maintain a healthy body is great. But I don't want to be one who's jumping on a bandwagon and say, well, I'm not going to do this or I am going to do that without knowing what I'm doing, I guess. I even saw a picture of a woman who was eating a honeycomb with the honey on it. I don't know. I've never seen that before. I don't think I want to do it. So anyway, so there was just this whole... the whole thing, you know, bombarding of, well, you know, do this and do that, and the reactions to the announcement were, some of them were very reactive, some of them were, oh, okay. And solutions, there were quite a few of those. It just was, you know, it's like a storm. Again, I know myself to notice when I'm there, so I decided to, as best I could, put it out of my mind and give myself at least overnight to sleep and maybe get back to myself again. And that was helpful. When I do that, I do what I call poking around. I poke around in my mind, just think about what just happened. You know, what got triggered in me? What was that? And I realize that I have some concern / fear for parents, people who have children, and they have to make decisions about that and how trustworthy, how difficult it might be in these days to be raising a child. That's what hit me. And I think the button that got hit was healthy children. You know, it's our job as parents to do the best we can to make them healthy, and it seems to me the job just got harder. So that's the button that got pushed. This, so this is just one issue, just one thing that has come out recently. We have a whole raft of issues, a whole culture, a whole environment of things that are happening. At the very least, it's going to mean change, and change isn't always easy for us. I'm not talking about the specifics maybe, but all of these different issues that are happening, it's like a swirl, it's like a storm. Like a storm. That's not what I want. I don't want that, I don't like that. What I need, I know this from experience, I know this as a Unity person, I need to have my mind in a peaceful place. Have you ever reacted from a place of emotion? Oh, I haven't, it hasn't gone well. Usually I don't make very good decisions. It's all drama and all of that. So I need peace. I need to be able to, it doesn't change what's going on out there, but it allows me to step into a place where I can become more observant, just look at the thing and evaluate, what do I need or want? I need to be peaceful. If I can observe and then I can evaluate, then I can respond in the way that is best and most effective for me. I'm not ignoring all that's going on, but when I'm in that peaceful place, I can come to that way of being and make much better decisions than if emotion is guiding my actions. So I need peace, and I need to be able to use critical thinking. I mean, that's just kind of part and parcel of the whole thing. As I was in this state, I wasn't completely out of the, oh my goodness, what's going to, I wasn't out of it completely, but I wasn't as ranting as I was the day before. But I thought of the scripture, the one about Jesus calming the sea. So I looked it up. This is that Fillmore Study Bible. It's the New Testament. It's metaphysically interpreted, which I think is always helpful. So the passage that I was thinking about is Matthew 8, and just before where I start, Jesus has noticed the crowds that he and the disciples are in, and he said, we need to go across over there. I'm assuming it's a lake, some body of water. We need to go over there. So then it starts off, it says, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Behold, a violent storm came up on the sea, so much that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. They came to him and woke him up, saying, save us, Lord, we're dying. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he got up, rebuked the wind and sea, and there was a great calm. The men marveled, saying, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now that is a powerful story, and one in the context of Jesus the Christ that we learn about and so forth. Jesus could do amazing things that are all in the Bible. So, okay, that's good. For me, when I try to bring that forward into the 21st century, how can I use this? It is very helpful to use the metaphysics of it. Mark Hicks and his team have done a metaphysical interpretation of that, and I want to share what he says. So the part where it says, when he got into a boat, he says the boat represents a positive thought. Like me wanting to observe, evaluate, and respond. That's a positive thought. The boat is capable of floating on the water, the unstable mind. However, when the subconsciousness is stirred by confusion and turmoil, violent storm, The positive thought is in danger of being engulfed. So what I took from that was when I got triggered, my boat got engulfed by the wave because I got involved in all the confusion and the turmoil. Then when it says, "Oh, you of little faith," this was interesting to me. The I am often expects more of its thought forces than they can accomplish. Jesus in subsequent lessons took his disciples or faculties aside and instructed them privately. Followers of Jesus find that the faculties are likely to be disconcerted over mental storms. To overcome this tendency, the faculties must be given special lessons with the attention directed upon the brain and nerve centers through which they function. Now, we've heard about the 12 powers. That's the function, I think, that is being talked about here, the functions. Those parts of us, the wisdom, the strength, the will, the understanding, those faculties, those powers that we each and every one of us have, and they're in various levels probably of development, the more they are developed, the more Christ-like we are. Jesus represents the Christ, of course. And so then to use those faculties in that way is helping us to be more Christ-like, to be able to calm the sea. And the last part, rebuke the wind and the sea. And I love this. If we understand the truth that man has authority over all of his emotions, we too, like Jesus, can rebuke the wind and sea of turbulent thoughts and emotions. The result is peace and harmony reign in mind and in body, and there was a great calm. Do you not find it comforting to see that? The truth that man has, or humans, have authority over all our emotions. Doesn't it feel like sometimes our feelings have swept us up and we have no control? We do. It may not happen immediately, but we take the powers aside. We turn to those powers, those faculties that we have. We center so that we can get back to that Christ self. So as I look at this metaphysics look at calming the sea, living in the midst of all of these issues, these current things that are happening, that's out there. How am I going to interact with it, though? So I want my Christ center to be in charge. I want to, when I start feeling the turbulence, I want to be able to go back to that peaceful place. So what I get from that is it's an inside job. You know, when all this stuff is happening on the outside, the first thing I must do is get peaceful. I must be able to get to that place of alignment and oneness, if you will. And maybe that seems like a stretch to be following advice or guidance from something that was over 2,000 years ago. So I thought about current writings. What are they saying in the world today? There are a lot of authors, but some that came to mind. One of them is Eckhart Tolle. Some of you have probably read some of his work. One of his main things is be in the present. So being in the present means that we're not rehashing living on what was, what has happened. It means that we're not obsessing over what could happen like I was doing. Being in the present moment, each of us here is being in the presence of other people, other lovely, beautiful people that have come here for spiritual growth and whatever else. That's the present moment. And the present moment moves along. But if we're with it, if we're watching and noticing what our feelings are, what our experiences are, we can be in the present. And it helps tremendously at being able to step out of the storm. Mm-hmm. Brené Brown Brené Brown, in her, I love Brené Brown's writings. She has a lot of stuff that she does, but she does stuff on shame and guilt, and she talks about fear. She has a phrase that she uses in her writings quite a bit. The story I'm telling myself is, and it takes into account some of the beliefs and the biases that we might have. The story I'm telling myself is this. When we can get that out and look at it, we have an opportunity to observe, evaluate, and respond. We may not want to always think the way that we were. She is, in her books, I can't remember which one now, but she talks about the primitive brain. Daniel Goleman, back in the 90s, wrote one, Emotional Intelligence, which I found absolutely fascinating. I thought much of that was intended to help teachers, help children learn how to be proficient at emotional intelligence, how to interact with one another in humane and loving ways, et cetera, instead of just reading, writing, arithmetic. Well, I thought adults need that too. We didn't get that in school, you know? So if somebody was behaving badly, I don't know really what to do about that. So I thought that whole idea was smart, and others have picked up on it, and it has become more of a thing, you know, spiritual intelligence. The whole spiritual and emotional sides of ourselves that need to be developed too. So in that, so she talks about this primitive brain and how that catches, and it's hard to get out of it. Can you think of a time recently in your own life where something triggered, and you know that that was what was happening? You know, you heard something and it scared you. Now, these days we don't have wild animals outside our door that are waiting to pounce on us, and so the things that trigger that these days, usually it's the fear of losing something. It's got to be a significant something for us to be that to catch that part of the brain. But once that primitive brain is engaged, it wants to mobilize you so that you're ready to handle whatever comes up. Now, it's still thinking of the saber-toothed tiger, but we don't need to run, probably, physically run now. We don't need to have the blood going to our hearts and our lungs and our legs, you know, so that we can really quickly escape. But the brain is what it is. So if we want to move out of that primitive brain into that frontal cortex again, you can do it, but it takes awareness and it takes some knowledge, something that will work. And that's why I brought her up. I believe she does some sort of like counting or something, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5s, and when she focuses on doing that, it does. It moves the energy back into the frontal cortex, into the brain and the mind, and so we're back to, okay, I don't have to, it's going to be okay, I just got to figure this out. So I really loved about what she, you know, she's it's not so much you can't do that or you can't have that happen, because it's going to happen. That primitive brain gets hooked, sometimes very briefly, but it does. But if you know that that's what it is, oh, there it is again. And then you can do something to switch your energy. So when I start realizing that I'm getting triggered, I need to start counting, or saying the alphabet, or reciting something, you know, just to move it out of that reactive, you know, sometimes violent kind of energy. So there are current writers. Another one that Gary Simmons, Reverend Gary Simmons, he's a Unity minister, and he wrote a book called The Eye of the Storm. Some of you may have taken that class. Yes? Yeah. And it's I, the letter I, not E-Y-E, I. it's his metaphor is the hurricane, and the storm, the outer part of the hurricane, is where all of the stuff and debris is flying around, and it's chaotic and tumultuous. I mean, all of this stuff is just going on, but in the very center is it's quiet and it's calm. So the whole thing, you know, the eye of the storm, the I, that being the I am, in the quiet center. What's it going to do with that? That has helped me tremendously, the eye of the storm, and that whole figurative thing about getting to the peaceful place. That's what guided me to that thing about examine, and respond. And just this morning, I saw a post on Facebook by Paul Hasselbeck, who was a teacher at Unity, and it was on the faculty of will, and the way he described it was pretty much just like that. It's just, you know, notice, observe, evaluate, and then respond. So if we can direct our faculty of will when we're peaceful. Gary Simmons has a hold in that eye of the storm thing. There's a lot of really good material in there, but I think it's helpful to realize that storm is such a good metaphor for how we're living these days. There is a storm going on, and we need and want to get back into it. There is a joint statement. I loved the Spirit works in such wonderful ways. I loved this last song, the other one, We Are Creating. There's so much that just is the same as this. Anyway, Unity has a joint statement of belief that for these times. Okay, this is called the Joint Unity Statement on Freedom, Love, and the Call to Courage. Unity Worldwide Ministries and Unity Worldwide Headquarters. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's about a page and a third, but I just want to pull out some stuff because this really says a lot, I think, about as Unity Truth students, what is it we want? What is it we're trying to do and be in these days? This starts out with a quote by a man named Edward Everett Hale. I didn't know anything about him, but I love what he said. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. I think that's a very reasonable approach that each of us can take. So it starts off and it says, in Unity we teach and know that every person is vital and irreplaceable expression of the divine. Every soul carries this divine spark and with it an unshakable worthiness for safety, dignity, and belonging. We affirm the Christ Spirit as the true authority within each person, not imposed by intimidation, but realized through love, wisdom, and the free unfolding of the soul. Talk some about democracy. Unity around the world stands on the truth that every being is an expression of God. This truth compels us to end division, to stand shoulder to shoulder, and to let compassion be our action, peace our path, and spirit in our unwavering guide. We are committed to building a world where all life can breathe, belong, and thrive. And that's what I heard Eddie Watkins singing too. In a nation founded to honor liberty and law, justice always prevails. Families are preserved. Leaders speak for their communities without fear of retribution. Education is upheld with integrity and accountability. Courts act fairly to challenge discrimination. And government protects and serves all. And we know that these same principles resonate far beyond our borders, reminding the global family of humanity of our shared longing for justice and freedom. Does this not just resonate with truth? Since the pattern we see today, when unchecked power grows, when fear is weaponized, when trust collapses, and when people are driven apart, is not political, it is instead a spiritual crisis. History shows us that such systems strip away rights, voices, and dignity unless they are collectively and courageously confronted. When sacred truths about justice, equity, and democracy are traded for control, censorship, and fear, we must remember this is not freedom for all, and it is not who we are called to be. What can we do? We can respond with hope. We do not despair. We can speak up. We're not silent. We can act. We are not powerless. This moment calls us to rise, not in silence or fear, but with clear minds, bold hearts, and compassionate spirits. Guided by the teachings of Unity co-founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, we will honor the divine nature within ourselves and others, co-creating a world where love, truth, and justice prevail. Amen to that. Well, as we think about the teachings that we follow, the teachings of Jesus Christ, we know that one of the affirmative prayers that is foundational is the Lord's Prayer. So would you join me in speaking that aloud right now? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. If you're comfortable doing so, you might want to close your outer eyes. Allow yourselves to relax, to let your seat fully support you. You might focus on your body, just relaxing from top of your head all the way to the soles of your feet, relaxing every part of your body. The mind wants to chatter, but we, in this time of quiet, we invite the mind just to let those thoughts float on through like clouds. And we create this receptivity. We adopt a sort of listening, inner listening mode as we are here, silent. It is in the silence that we connect to that highest part of ourselves, that divine within. It is in this connection, in this alignment, when we can realize all of the powers, the faculties that we have. We can be still and allow whatever we need in the moment, whether it be comfort or strength, or joy, understanding, any of those, we allow those to nourish us, to replenish us. I do believe that it is true that God will never give us more than we can handle, and God is our source for anything and everything we need. We need belonging, we need love, we need joy. And right now, in this place and in this time, let your mind be still. Allow yourself to be receptive to the question, what do I need right now to be peaceful, to be at one? To tap into source to meet those needs. So as we do each week, let's take a moment of silence. In that silence, to be still, to be connected, to be aligned, be open, willing. What is each of us to do? We are remarkable in the silence. Created by the Most High. And we do have within us the power to do and to respond and to be that who we have come here to be. And it is unique for each and every one of us. We have everything that we need to be that best of ourselves. We are courageous. We are compassionate. Yes, there is a storm that is swirling in the outer. Yes, we do hear about violence. Yes, we know that there is great polarity and division in our world right now. And yet, love is all there is. Love conquers all. So we each come to these times of connection with the divine, these times of prayer and meditation, we come trusting God. We come knowing that we are being given exactly what we need in the moment to do whatever is ours to do. We hold the faith. We hold the torch. As if not us, who? We are peace. We are love. We are one. We are so grateful for this community. I'm grateful for this awareness and grateful for the opportunities to support and be supported. Grateful for the family, the spiritual family that we have here. I'm grateful for the awareness that we are divine beings. So in all this love and all this awareness and all this gratitude, we just simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.